Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor from Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, I'm so excited to welcome our guest today, top realtor, team leader, and national speaker from the Baton Rouge, Nashville, Tennessee, and Houma, Thibodaux area, Kyle Evans. Welcome to the podcast. Kyle, how are you, my brother?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me. And anytime I can get on a podcast or even a room with another agent who's dropping a good old-fashioned y'all, yeah, I know I'm in the right spot, Jamie Knight.
Yeah, baby. We're at home. We're in the South, man. We're about 45 minutes from each other, man. You're out in Baton Rouge and I'm out here in Lafayette, man. And we're just adding some value to realtors, man. That's what we're on today, dude. We're trying to see if we can lay down something that realtors can dig. They can grab some value, man. So start off by telling us a little bit of your backstory, man, so we can see kind of where this journey began and where you are now, my brother. Let us know.
I love the backstory here, man. It all started on a rainy day. Some would call it the best day ever in the history of the world, March 4th, 1988. Okay. Fast forward a little bit past that. And man, where did I get my start? I cut my teeth in the bar business, Jamie. Customer service. I worked my way from a bouncer to an owner. So did all the things, got the t-shirt, and I was a very different person than the person you see before you now. My wife calls it going from the boy to the man. Yeah. And, you know, I was doing that for a while, loved it, digged it. I pretty much liked to say I was Tom Cruise in Cocktail. And I had a guy walk in one day and said, you know what you would be great at? You would be great at real estate. You should join my team. And I said, that sounds dumb. What do you want to drink? And he stayed after me, right? And he convinced me to join his team. He was like, listen, bro, you can do it a part-time hustle. We'll take care of the contracts, the back end, all the thing. And now looking back on it with a little more wisdom, I realized he just wanted my database, right? I was the guy, I knew everybody. He just wanted access to that. And so I said, yes, I got licensed and did that for quite a few years. Until I got pregnant. Well, I didn't get pregnant. We got pregnant, my wife and I, and got married and everything. And man, I had a really interesting conversation with a mentor. And he pretty much said, listen, dude, I know that family's really important to you. And I know your wife is. And you can do this bar business thing and you can do it really well. Or you cannot. Can you do me a favor and can you tell me somebody in this business who you would model your family after and your family life after? And I was like, super easy, man, you. He was like, great. Can you name one more? And I couldn't. He said, I'm not telling you can't win the lottery. I'm just telling you that most people don't.
Gotcha.
And so I made a decision to leave all of that behind and go full-time real estate. And my wife was like, yes, thank you, about time. And so I went full-time and went onto that guy's team and started kicking the tires and lighting the fires and quickly realized, Jamie, that I was not good at real estate. And it didn't all work out like HGTV, man. I spent a lot of times in the trenches. I spent a lot of time in fear of rejection. I spent a lot of time worried that people were going to judge me, going from a bartender to a sales guy and how that was going to look and giving up and selling out and all the things that people think about whenever they get into that kind of career change. And then I took this course called Bold, which is in the KW ecosystem. And it's like a 6-week, 7-week all intensive. And it really changed my trajectory and it got me to do the things that I didn't want to do.
Love it.
And after that, it was like a fish to water, man. I started making the calls, making the dials, left that team, helped build another big team up to about 20 agents. We were at 260 units annually. And then that started my coaching and my speaking journey, which has now led into starting my expansion network. And here we are.
Dude, I love that, man. We actually have some similarities too, man. I started back in that same business too, man. I DJed for a long time. I started out as a bar back and then they said, hey, go up there and run the lights. And I ran the lights at this big club in Lafayette. And, you know, that was great, man. And then I started DJing and hollering at the crowd and get them going. So I'm not a stranger to a microphone. You know, we've been spitting flames for a little minute now, but yeah, so it's very similar journey to yours is just, man, that whole DJ background. but just, you know, obviously you had to move on, man. And like, mm-hmm. for me, I had a friend and a mentor kind of tell me the same thing. He said, Jamie, you know, you're like, you're out there, you're trying to be a DJ. You're like, you're cooking food at Hooters or whatever. And you're like, do it selling Cajun seasoning. Right. And like, and I was trying to sell some real estate at the same time. He's like, dude, you're going to have to, at some point, pick one of those and go all in and just be the best that you can at the one thing instead of trying to be mediocre at all the things. I always joke because he didn't know how good of a DJ I was at that time, right? You know what I mean? So I was a pretty good DJ, but that wasn't going to go anywhere for me, right? It just wasn't the path for me. And it wasn't the place that I wanted for my family, right? Things happen in the club and different things happen. And it's just not obviously a place for a family man to be up in the club every night. And just like you, once you had kids, man, I'm sure it was just like, man, it just doesn't feel the same to be out here slinging drinks and cutting up and till 2 a.m. every morning. So you got to find a better way. And what better way do we have than using our skills and our skill sets that we have by having the relationships that we've had and made at the clubs and everything else, but now getting to use it to help buyers and sellers sell, but also to get help agents win and getting to be cheerleaders for those agents. So let's talk about what an agent can do right now. I want to talk about fears and everything. We chatted a little bit to start on fear and what that looks like for a realtor right now. I feel like there's a lot of fear in the market. There's a lot of fear of uncertainty. There's a lot of fear of how the market's doing, where it's going, where interest rates are going, all these things. So let's talk about fear and what do you feel like, what fears are agents facing right now?
Yeah, man. I mean, here's the thing. Any sales guru from decades ago up till now might give you the acronym false evidence appearing real. That's not my bag, man. That's not my ministry, Jamie. I think that fear's real. Like, everyone has fear. I think to say that we don't is just silly. I think it's what we do with the fear, right? Like, it's okay to feel fear. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to not be courageous sometimes. But what are you going to do when it comes? How do you act? And I think for agents now, if you look at it in a macro, it's getting lost in the sauce, getting lost in the tickety-tockities and the social media feeds and the news, and everything's doom and gloom and this is bad and interest rates are high and affordability is high and no one can afford anything and who knows what. I can guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, there are agents right now in this market having the best years of their entire career. There are brand new agents jumping on the scene and absolutely smashing it. The market is the market. We can either choose to lean into it or we can choose to be afraid of it. And I think more often than not, that fear just comes down to like the base level. Kind of the same thing that I struggle with very much so in the beginning of my career. I think a lot of agents, especially the ones when I travel around and talk and speak and coach, man, they're dealing with like the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of success, or said another way, who they have to become to get the level of success that they desire. I don't say this proudly, and yet I do. When I first got into real estate, Jamie, I sat in front of the computer screen one time for 8 hours, not playing on Facebook, not looking at things and reading stuff on the internet. I sat in front of a call list for 8 hours and did not call because I was so crippled about the fear of rejection. And I had a coach, thank God, tell me, hey, man, you know why you have that? Said, please tell me, I'm paying you a lot of money to tell me and I'm poor, so please. And he goes, it's because you have a very low self-worth. And I was like, you obviously don't know me very well because I'm the cool guy, bro. I slang drinks. I do the things like people know me.
Yeah.
He said, that's all great for social media and you have a very low self-worth and I'll prove it to you. You are so concerned and caught up in what other people think of you and not what you think of you, that you're willing to put your family's financial destiny on the line for it. And I said, ouch, that hurt, struck a chord. And I think that same thing is what a lot of agents are struggling with right now. It's the fear of rejection. It's, man, if I go and try to sell something or try to be this person for this crew, this database, this sphere, this friend, this family member, what if they say no? What if they say gross? What if they use someone else? And the truth of the matter is, more often than not, when we come from contribution, when we come from care, when we come from actually, hey, dude, I know a thing or two about this and it will help you, they're happy to hear from us. And it's getting out of our own way and doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting some tools and getting some ways that you can make some deep connections with people. Actually, this morning at our office meeting, a realtor came and talked, and he's crushes. You know, he's a top agent here. He's one of the top 10 in our market. And I was waiting for him to kind of say some magical sauce that he has that he's doing on social media or he's doing. You know, and he said, man, this is what I do every day, man. And you look at the guy, he's in amazing shape and he's you know, doing all the things and he's talking about his routine and his schedule and the amount of calls that he makes every day. And that's what makes him a top agent. He's like, I make 50 connections with people a day and I'm not happy unless I don't get 50 connections with people, you know? And I'm like, dude, that's a lot of people, man. But like, you know, you're looking at his journey and you say like, man, you'll see him on social and you're like, man, like this guy, he's killing it or whatever. And it's like he's like, I'm not happy unless I can get 2 appointments a day, or I'm not happy unless I can get 1 or 2 listings a week. But whatever the goals are, and look, that's an extreme example, right? This guy is probably built a little bit different. But some of these things that realtors are putting out right now when it comes to TikTok and social media and YouTube and all these other things, get down to the nitty gritty of how you actually grow a real estate business. And I love when we were talking about your team that you're like, man, I don't even buy leads for these guys because like, I want to show them how to sell real estate. So talk to us a little bit about that. Talk to us a little bit about the team, what you're doing with them, why they're coming to you guys, and what you're training them on when they actually come here. And that's the real secret sauce, baby, is like, can we get to where we're selling real estate and building a foundation of success. So tell us about your team and what you're doing with them and helping them grow their businesses.
Man, I think it all starts with the foundational understanding of the magic we're looking for is in the work that we're avoiding, right? Just like that guy you listed who's crushing it, his magic is doing the work that most people are not willing to do every single day, consistently, time on task over time. And so for us, instead of being like, hey, let's go buy these leads and let's go pay these people for people who are raising their hand, my question is this to you and to the listeners out there, I would recommend you do the same thing. Pull out your phone, go to contacts, scroll all the way down to the bottom. There's going to be a number there. Now, if you have an Android, I don't know how to help you get an iPhone. That's how the, you know, normal people do it. But we scroll down, we get that number. Let's say it's 1,000 people. Let's say it's 2,000, 5,000. Let's say it's 200. Let's go to the statistics. 64 to 65% of America is homeowners. People move every 7 to 10 years. Let's just under-promise and over-deliver. Let's take 10 years instead of 7. 10 divided by 65% is 6.5%. That means statistically speaking, in their phone, 6.5% of those names, 6.5% of those numbers, 6.5% of those people with a pulse are going to statistically transact real estate. I would much rather teach you how to utilize and be of service to the people who already know, like, and trust you, as opposed to paying someone to go chase down a stranger to build a relationship that doesn't even exist. And so that's what we do at the base layer is like, hey, man, you have connections, you have talents, you have history, you have meetings and events and times that you've already spent with these people. Go be a lighthouse for them in a market, in a storm where most people are misled by lies or misinformation on social media and misleading news articles that are structured just for clicks, but not actually to serve the consumer. And so that's kind of what we do in a base layer, man, is figure out how can we go and be the economist of choice, if you will, for the people who are already in our world.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, man. I totally love that. And I totally agree with that. You know, get in there, get down, start serving your people, man, because that is where the opportunities are at. And it feels right, right? Like, how good does it feel when you get that call from that client that you know you've helped out and sold real estate to, and they referred you somebody else? How good does that feel, right? So it's like, really, I even tell realtors, like, dude, like, if, especially if you've been in the business a little while, go back and look at all the sales that you've had and say, hey, where did those sales come from? Was that from that person, this person? What you're going to start seeing is, man, like, there's a couple people that are responsible for a lot of my business, you know, even just a handful of people. And how can we better reach those people? What are we doing with the follow-up? What are we doing to reach those people with value, not just shoving real estate down their throat? Can we be a friend to them? Can we, hey, send them an article about this player at LSU or whatever happened to them? Or, you know, when we know they like the Tigers, right? What can we do to meet them where they are, find out things that they cherish in their life, and then speak to them, right? I feel like we just live in this area that, like, we're not getting deep with our clients. We're just staying like surface level, right? If they're not ready to sell real estate, why are we bothering them with homes? It's just crazy how realtors think sometimes.
It's wild. And we talked about, you know, mindset and like fear. And I think base level mindset for us, like one of our calls to actions, our driving forces, like we don't sell houses, bro. Like that's not our job. We are consultants. We are decision architects. We are helpers in some of life's transitions. Pretty much every major transition in life delineates some sort of real estate transaction, right? You might have heard it packaged as the 6 D's of real estate. DaBaby, right? That's going to happen. Diplomas, diamonds, divorce, death, deployment. Those 6 D's are major things that happen in people's lives, and they usually mean 1, 2, 3 transactions in real estate. And where I think a lot of people forget is it's not a commission or a sale. This is a person sometimes going through either the most joyous or, brother, the most devastating piece of their life, and they're lost in their own storm. And we get to walk alongside them through that transition and maybe show them some things and help say, hey, dude, this is a lot. I do this every day. There's statistics, there's negotiation, there's legal, there's law, there's finances. I got this for you so you can be with the most important people or places or things during this transition in your life.
Yeah, dude. Freaking love that, man. How are these conversations looking like, right? Like, so it's a daunting task for a realtor to look at. Okay, I need to make calls, right? Like, let's just say a realtor buys in. They're like, I want to do this. I want to make calls. Let's talk about how do those conversations, let's go tactical. How do those conversations feel with these people? Let's get some nitty gritty, some conversations, tactics. What are you saying to these people when you call them?
So if they are in our database, right, we like to structure around one call a quarter, one major touch a quarter. I think there's a lot of statistics and stats that show that that's a pretty solid spot to be, to stay in emotional proximity of people. So we tend to structure them essentially around the year at different times. So for instance, the end of the year is probably a conversation model that's something like, hey, Jamie, listen, real quick business conversation. I'm sitting up at the office working on my sales calendar for 2026. You came to mind. I wanted to make sure that you weren't missed because you're important to me. Listen, in 2026, do you have any real estate goals? If so, which month so I can mark you down? That's it. In and out. That's for business planning, right? At the end of the year. Let's say it's in the middle of the year or in April, like quarter two, straight contribution call. Hey, Jamie, listen, checking in on you, buddy. This may or may not be of service to you. I don't know, but I didn't want to not bring it to your attention in the fact that it could have been. Man, a lot of my clients right now, a lot of people like yourself, are working on their house, doing spring cleaning, sprucing some things up. I have a list of trusted vendors that we use and my clients use on a daily basis that do really good work at really good prices. Would you want that? That's it. Like, who doesn't want a trusted list of people who are going to be doing work on their most valuable asset that's already been vetted, that does good work, that they don't have to go and sort through reviews and wonder which one's a bot and which one's a verified purchase. Like, people helping people, man. Like, that's some of just two easy conversations that agents could have that would change their business dramatically in itself.
Yeah. I love that. And one strategy that I heard, matter of fact, it was this morning too, he was talking about it, which I totally agree with it, is he said, start with the ask, because it's easier to say something like, hey, Kyle, calling because I have a buyer that's looking for a home in your neighborhood, bro. And I want to make sure that you kept your eye open and make sure that if you saw any of your neighbors looking to buy or sell, man, to let me know. And then you can say, and by the way, how's the house, man? How's the kids? Right. Are they enjoying it? They just started school. You know, what's going on, man? They stressed out. What's going on with the family? Because if you do it the other way and you say like, hey, how's the family? How's the this? How's the that? And then you flip it and you say like, and hey, by the way, like, you know, I have this buyer that wants to buy your neighborhood. They're thinking like, it's the whole like, how are you? But whatever. It's kind of like
it's horse tail.
Yeah. It's kind of leading to like, hey, just start with the ask, right? Start with the ask if you want to ask for some opportunity and just tell them what you're looking for first. It's kind of like mailing out a thank you card with your business card in it. I said that the other day. I was like, when you think about mailing out a thank you card, do you put your business card in it? Because like, if you're going to put your business card in it, is it really a thank you card? Because like, I always tell realtors, like, just don't even put the damn thank you. Don't put the business card in there. Just be like, hey, was thinking about you. I appreciate the opportunity to help you buy and sell or whatever. And like, love you guys. Wish you guys the best. Boom, Jamie. But if you put the business card in it, it's like, it's like your kid coming up and giving you a big hug, right? And saying like, oh, dad, I love you. Right. I love you. And you're my favorite. And let's go to Disney World.
Yeah,
you know,
do you have
like,
$5?
Yeah, can I get a toy? You know, yeah, now can I get a toy? How does that feel, right? So it's kind of like, you know.
Good. So you've been hanging around my house, apparently, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, dude, so it's crazy. But yeah, similar to that, right? It's like, dude, like if you could just call, man, and just truly just care about people and just touch base with them, man, you don't even have to say, and by the way, send me some real estate business, you know, dude, like. You could say a million different things. You don't even have to ask. As long as you feel like they know that you're in real estate.
Agents should be asking for business strategically to, like, let's say I'm calling you once a quarter for a whole year. I think there should be one strategic ask, maybe two formal ask per annum. Other than that, it should be relational, come from contribution, and actually come from care in an easy model that's been around forever that I've adopted talking about being a tactician here is FORD, F-O-R-D. It stands for Family, Occupation, Recreation, Dreams. It's essentially just a conversational framework that you can follow that lets you talk about what's most important to people. Hey, how's your mom and them? How's the kids? How's little Frankfurter? Is he running around doing good? How's work? When you ask how work is, and you actually ask from care, not the throwaway comment, how's work? It's good. Okay, move on. What's exciting about it? You guys busy right now? You overwhelmed? You underwhelmed? You looking for talent? You hitting on goals? Like you in the office, you working, any trips planned? Like get into the nitty gritty, actually care about a human being. Guess what they're going to do, Jamie? They're going to ask you about work. And that's where you can be Hansel and Gretel and start to leave a trail of breadcrumbs, educating the consumer on what you do and how you do it. This is not, though, where you say, work's great. Why do you ask? Do you know anybody looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate? Because I could really use a sale right now.
Yeah.
Like, just be a human being, dude.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. On that same note, too, I may have told this story before. I'm not sure on the podcast. But, man, we were sitting in Iota, Louisiana, a little small town, very small community. And we're at a coffee shop and me and another realtor and a couple other people at the table, we're hanging out and this farmer walks in. He's a potato farmer, right? And it's this rural area, right? So you got farmers coming in all the time, grabbing a coffee or whatever it is. So we're sitting around the table and one of the guys at the table asks this guy, the farmer, he says, hey man, how's the farm? And the guy could have not been any less interested in talking about potatoes, right? He could like care less. I could see it in his body language because I'm just sitting here watching the conversation, hanging out, drinking a cup of coffee and watching this play out. So, this goes on. He kind of tells us a little bit about the potatoes, but I think he could care less. He really couldn't care less about the potatoes. So then a little bit further into the conversation, the guy says, hey, I heard you got a kayak. And then I could see the light go off, right? I could see his energy change, right? He had, you hit on what he cherished in his life. So I tell realtors, look for the cherish. You could see what he cherished in his life, and that was a kayak, right? He was like, oh, man, dude, I got the kayak. And he was like, man, I got caught in the rain the other day at False River, and, like, I had to pull underneath somebody's dock, and, like, dude, we were catching fish like crazy, got caught in the storm. I was all soaking wet. My sandwich got wet. And it was like, what? The dude just created, like, it was like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, like, totally different guy, right? So what do you do when you call that guy the next time? Do you ask him about the potatoes, or do you ask him about his kayak, man? He's on adventure land in his kayak. Dude, he hates what he does. He hates selling potatoes. But he freaking loves his kayak, dude. So that's what I always tell realtors, just like, man, dig deep, dude. Find the kayak. It might be the grandkids. You know, they may absolutely love their grandkids. They may love traveling. They may love, you know, like, they hate whatever you're asking them about. But if you can find that thing you cherish about, then make a note of it and then send him a little hang-along thing for his phone and his kayak. You know what I'm saying?
Send him a kayak sticker, you know, bro.
Yeah, like, send him something for his kayak, dude. Like, hey, dude, I got a, you know, a little whatever sticker for your kayak adventure or whatever. And I just thought about you, dude, and I wanted to send that to you, dude. He'll text you a picture of him and his sticker on the kayak, right? So as I said, to realtors, like, find the thing that people cherish and then make a note of it, dude. And that's the cheat code about social media, right? The cheat code on social media is people are putting out what they care about, dude. They're putting it out on social media. They're saying, hey, I care about this. Call me and ask me about it. How simple is that? They're putting it out on social media saying, here's what I care about, right? I'm on a walk with my dog. Just me and the dog. Just me and the dog. Trying to get away from the family. You know, I mean, look, ask them about the dog. Send him something with the dog,
send
you know?
Send him something for little muffins, man. Like, go find some, like, organic muffin treat and send it to the bulldog and let him say, hey, man, you looked good on that walk, but muffins look better. Look like you need a treat today just thinking about you guys. Have a great day. That will take you so much farther than, do you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate? Thanks. Every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So dig deep. Find the cherish, baby. Find the cherish. And then go deep with these people, man. Go deep and make sure that they, like, absolutely know that you care about them. It just find ways that you can add value to their life, man. So that's, I think, dude, this is so, so helpful, I think, for realtors, because we really have to build on a foundation of really digging deep with people and making genuine connections with people. And I feel like social media is just almost taking us away from that, right? We're seeing these agents having these big wins on social, and oh my gosh, there's some influencer and now they're doing all these deals because they're huge and crushing it on social. And I can tell you, because I connect with agents all over the country, man, I have friends who have 100,000 followers on Instagram. I have friends that have hundreds of thousands of followers on Facebook, but they do no deals. The deals they do come from grinding and making the phone calls, and it's not glorious. It's boring, but the boring path, the path that is the path that gets you there. And it's the consistent path that gets you there too.
There's this guy called Gary Keller, right? And he wrote a book called The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. And he told me this one time, and it lives rent-free in my head forever. He said, if your business isn't boring, you're probably leaving money on the table. So many agents want the shiny penny. They want the cool thing. And real success, actual success that's proven over time, is boring. And it's consistent, and it's showing up every single day, doing the same boring thing over and over and over again, being of value, being in people's world, being emotional proximity of people when it comes time to buy, sell, or invest in real estate. I tell agents, you know what I want you to do? I want you to be a person who sells real estate, not a real estate agent who sometimes masquerades as a person. And I think a lot of people get it wrong like that, man. They just want to sell and tell all day, every day, instead of just connect.
Yeah, I love that, dude. Yeah, we got to some goodies, baby. We got to some really good stuff today. So, Kyle, man, we blew through 30 minutes, you know, real quick, dude. I figured we would. But, man, like, give us one more little thing, right? Give us one more nugget, brother, that agents right now are struggling. They've got the fear. They've got the fear of rejection. They've got the fear of failure. They're nervous that they're not going to be able to pay their bills, man. They're nervous they're not going to be able to make it, man. They're nervous about the interest rates, man. Speak to an agent that's feeling that fear, that's feeling that burden, and then we'll close it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of the internet, lend me your ears, give me your eyeballs here if you're watching this. The success or the wonderful thing about this business is you can make as much money as you want. The awful thing about this business is you will make as much money as you want. And true success is being willing, not just wanting. A lot of times when it comes down to the uncertainty of the market or the fear of the market, it shows up in a lack of self-worth or a lack of self-confidence. Self-confidence is usually driven on being able to look at data points and say, hey, I did that, so therefore I'm confident in that. I had a win there before, therefore I think I can win again. Some of you haven't had the wins yet, and part of that is because you're not keeping the promises to yourself. And I'm not talking about the promise to grow your business 200% this year. I'm talking about the promise that you said that, hey, I'm going to make 10 phone calls today. Hey, I'm going to go to the gym today. Hey, I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. today. Hey, I'm going to read my Bible. Hey, I'm going to make soccer practice. Hey, I'm going to insert small promise here that you're breaking on a daily basis. And when you keep breaking those promises to yourself, your self-worth and your self-identity start to chip away until there's not much left. And so when you're standing there looking at the storm, you don't have a lot to pull on. If you want to change that dynamic, it's very simple, but it is very hard. Keep the promises that you're making to yourself and others. It's that simple.
Dude, I love that. Absolutely, baby. Kyle, thank you so much, my brother, for showing up today and helping us through this storm that we're in, man, grabbing some roots and see if we can hang on to this, baby, because we are going to make it through the storm. And I know our listeners are resilient, and I know our listeners are tuning in because they want to hear the grit, they want to hear the growth, they want to hear the change and give them something to grab onto. But I feel like this episode was exactly what realtors needed to hear right now. We're not coming with the shiny objects. We're coming with the actual tactics to grow a real estate business. So I encourage you guys to go connect with Kyle. We're going to put some of his information in the details of the podcast. And I hope that you guys continue to listen to the podcast. We launch a brand new audio version of this podcast every Monday morning at 5 a.m. on all the major platforms. We're also putting up some of these episodes on YouTube so you can check us out, see our beautiful faces as we roll through the day. So Kyle, again, thank you, my brother.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Well, I hope that you're enjoying what you hear, and I hope that you reach out to Kyle. I hope that you reach out to me. We'd absolutely love to help you with your real estate business, and I hope that you guys have an amazing day.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.